This woman, she's that whole parking.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
I know what to do.
12.1.
Take your 0.3. Trailer on, and he said.
Martha is on the line.
Okay. That. All right, apparently it is time. So, we'll call the meeting to order. This is a regular commission meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission, Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. So we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Richard?
Here. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
No.
Nope.
Anyone need to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
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 All right, then, I entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Joe and a second by Ken to approve the agenda as written. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Move to the meeting minutes for Monday, April 6th and Monday, April 29th. Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of special commissioners meeting for Monday, April 6th, 2021, and minutes of special commissioner meeting Monday, April 29th, 2021.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Sharon and a second by Ken to approve the meeting minutes and items A and B. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to public comments. I have no forms in front of me. Do you have any public comments?
There's a chance that gentleman was.
Okay, I see that.
He may have a public comment.
Good evening and thank you. My name is Steve McClintock and I'm the new fire chief here at Harbor. I've been here for not quite a year yet. I'm still trying to learn the ropes and the boundaries and the who's who and what fors, and I just want to let you know that I understand that in the past we had a good working relationship with everybody here at the fort. I understand that we lost a little of our relationship with you guys and the port people, and I want to try to work that out, and I want to bring that relationship back. I think that we're here. I have a good crew. I've had a big changing of the guard, you might say, I think that you'll be really pleased, and I think that we're doing a lot of good work. So anything that I can do, I'd like to, if you can contact me, I'll leave some cards here. And
thank you.
I heard that we had agreements with you. I heard that the agreements went away. I heard there was issues why they went away. I'm not sure what the agreements were. I'm trying to dig in. When I took over, we had no paperwork whatsoever in any of our files on a lot of stuff. so I'm kind of starting from the bottom. But, so, if any of you have any comments or words of wisdom for me on what we can do to move forward with helping out the board, please let me know. I'm open for suggestions.
Thank you for coming, and I would just tell you, we enjoy our relationship with the Harbor Fire Department, and if there was ever any issues, it was because of communication, as it always is. So, I know we're open, the staff's open to sit down anytime you'd like to, and we can talk about, probably don't need to relive the past, but we can talk about the future and some things that we've installed some fire hydrants, and we've done a few things here to try and get ourselves in better condition for whatever might come in terms of fire.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I tell all the guys and gals up there that I don't care what happened yesterday, let's see what we can do tomorrow.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I prefer the car without the rearview mirror personally, but.
Well, I don't know. When I left Vegas, it was pretty good looking out the rearview mirror.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you for your time. I won't keep you. I just wanted to come and introduce myself. I think Chet Brewer worked that out for me, and I'd appreciate him. He does a great job. We have a great board, and I look forward to working with you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank
Contact
you
me if there's anything you need.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome thank you. Board.
Thank you.
Richard, I have another public comment. I think you can email somebody from
there. Okay.
I have a comment about the emergency response team. I know you guys are going to talk about it, information item, but just how important it is. You know, I remember when Ted started it, and he always made the kind of the joke that it was something that was so needed, the boats need to get out of the water right away, especially if you're going to keep that boat. And second, he would say, that's very profitable. But, it, you know, Castellanos boat sunk, and I mean, that thing sat in the water for 4 days, and it was toast after that. You know, they just can't do that. And I had the opening, the night before opening crab season a couple years ago, the instigator next to us sank with his pots on the boat. And Joe pulled over in the Equinox and just went like this, because his block will lift anything. I know there's liability and stuff like that with that. But that instigator was out of the water in 3-4 hours, you know, besides. It's just a really important thing. I just see it's an information item. And the only other public comment I would have is, did any, because people keep asking me this, did anything ever happen with the public hoist?
What do you mean happen?
Well, I know it was an item, like maybe in April or something like that, it was discussed.
Yeah, we're still trying to work on the public hoist. Pack Choice currently leasing the port public hoist is.
Yeah.
We're talking to them because they now have a lot more dock space about possibly getting them off that so it can be reopened at the end of their lease. So, end of their lease.
It is our desire to get public hoist.
Okay, and then the last item is. It is, if you look at the rules, it's against the law or against the port rules to take our commercial fish across the dock, meaning putting them in a garbage can, wheeling them up the dock. Right, Travis? Or
no.
Did that change?
It's currently changed when, I think it was when Kathy Lindley was here. We changed that to allow anybody to take any of their catch up the dock because we don't have a public hoist. So until we were able to put back in a new public hoist, currently, right now, yes, the board made it the option to open that.
Cool.
And you can't.
And they're doing it, and they're, you know, we're taking crab to Charleston and getting 12 bucks a pound.
Right. You can take them up the dock.
We're taking the crab on the garden. Okay,
nope,
that's okay.
Nope. Right now, that is okay. Once we have a public hoist, that'll be prohibited. But,
right.
But until then, right now, you can do that.
And is that last hoist that's at Pack Choice is broken, I believe, correct?
Yes.
What if we as a group, as a users group, were to fix that?
Well, Pack Choice leases that area.
But, I mean, Brett says that it doesn't work. I
right.
mean, he's pretty friendly.
Right.
It's just really hard when you sell them crab and now you're going to sell to somebody else. I'm going to take it off for you. You know what I mean? Just that little scenario.
right now that's just the leased area, so you know, that's right. Not up to the port to decide what's gonna happen with that. So in the future, I'd imagine they're gonna probably fix that place and use it. So
yeah, absolutely. So we need a spot for that. It would be unbelievably awesome.
Okay, let's
hey, thank you.
Move on to management reports, financial report.
All right, the financial reports for April. The balance sheet, the end of the month unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $377,217. Restricted cash and equivalents totaled $853,867, with a total assets cash at $1,377,483. The April profit and loss, total revenues from all funds were $428,389. Total expenses were $481,035. The net income was a negative $52,645. You can see our revenue centers and our expenses. The unusual revenues during that month, we received $128,864 for reimbursement from Business Oregon. That's on the fuel dock repair project. The unusual expenses that month, the final payment went to Legacy Contracting for $157,869. We didn't receive that money during April, but we should receive it in May. We spent $9,990 to McLennan Excavation for paving at the RV park and the fishing pier. Another $9,490 to Oregon Alarm to install our security cameras. And then tank testers, $6,280 for reconnecting the fuel lines. $2,480 for Palm Industries for cleaning up a flood that happened at the sheriff station. I think we talked about it in the last meeting at the sheriff station, Wells Hill. And also a little bit into the Hungry Clam. Then $1,690 to 5R Excavation to repair the sinkhole at the fishing pier. And we also spent $28,204 on materials and services working on the restroom in the RV park. Any comments, questions?
Okay. All right, to the safety report.
Port maintenance staff was trained, everyone was trained on CPR, first aid, and board board passive training. We did not have any employee accidents for the month of April. Incident reports, there wasn't too much going on. Maintenance staff found two needles in the bathroom. Those are disposed of properly. A morgue customer believes that his parking permit was stolen out of his vehicle. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Okay. Harbor master report.
Okay. A lot of our time was spent at the RV park bathroom. We're trying to get that all done and completed so it can be open Memorial Day weekend. The occupancy at the RV park, well, we had zero last year, so this was the month that we were closed. So at 27.5%, it's continually getting more and more users. Percentages seem to stay higher than the year before. We did 5 jobs at the telehandler. We did 6 haulouts. The boatyard's picking up. We have more and more boats. We keep hauling out more boats. The transition for the boatyard seems to keep going very well. We're working with all the commercial fishermen. Boats from Crescent City are coming, and it seems like everybody's been able to get the work that they need done. Maintenance crew did 87 work orders, and at the Pacific Seafood, there's a gap between the old dock and the new dock. There's a big gap that needed to be filled in, so we fixed that so nobody falls through it. Kind of a safety type thing that got missed when the new construction happened. So that's done. That's about it. Like I said, we spent a lot of time at the RV park. Okay. Any questions?
Any questions?
No.
All right.
I just have one question. Is there a designated time that you have set for putting the ramps in down at the...
I'm hoping I'm going to get them in by Friday.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Port manager.
All right. The COVID-19 risk level continued to fluctuate between the moderate and extreme in April. They are coming out with new mask guidance that actually came out today. I'll forward those to the commissioners after the meeting. Kind of interesting what they're requiring. Security wise, ORCAL and the port recorded 29 violations in April. The traffic counter continues to click along, 1,300 cars per day going through the RV park. Yeah, it is. The port placed an ad for a part-time position for the RV park for the weekends. We actually filled that position. He is doing training this past week and this week. So we're going to have somebody, you know, in the office on the weekends. And he's also going to be 2 days during the week as a maintenance guy working on the RV park, cleaning, fixing, strictly RV park. He's not going to be part of this side. Congressman DeFazio's funding application was turned in last month. The Business Oregon Commercial Relief Program, out of the five applicants that we turned in, three got assistance. That was done last month. Zola's on the water. They gave us their drawing. Jack had a couple comments. They got addressed, and then he went to the county, got permits, and he broke ground, I think, today or yesterday. So, yeah. So he's moving forward with that, with his storage plan. Like I mentioned before, Oregon Alarm, they installed the security cameras or initial security camera systems up and running, the bar cams running. I haven't heard any complaints about the bar cam. I think it's working well.
I don't know why you would complain about that.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't work on the website type of thing, but it seems to be working pretty good.
Got
to
get those pesky commercial boats to quit parking in front of it.
We went through and finished the Seal Cove eviction process, and that is now ready for lease. A lot of work was done on the FEMA project last month. And any questions?
I have a question for Martha, though. Martha, are you there? Martha was on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Martha, I have a question. And this is regarding liability for port staff. The other day when I was here at the boardwalk, one of our local transients who is 60, 70 years old, walks with a cane, was hobbling across the parking lot, fell down, couldn't get up, looked like a turtle upside down. There was a car parked with two people in it that I went over there. He was quite inebriated. He had urinated all over himself and he was absolutely filthy with no gloves, no safety equipment. So all I wanted to do is protect him from being run over by the car, but also I called and get some response from the sheriff's department. What liability does our port staff have in one of these individuals doing just what I did, which was basically make a phone call.
What liability?
Required...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Are they, what level of assistance should our people respond with?
Well, I wouldn't recommend, I think doing sort of what you did is appropriate. I mean, they certainly don't have a duty to put themselves in harm's way. To go out and sort of check on somebody verbally and call for assistance if they're not able to take care of themselves, you know, is what should be done. I there's no duty to, you know, get hands on for sure. And I would not recommend that.
From what we've learned in our safety meetings, when you deal with that in your first aid class, it's discretionary. It's up to the person. Like, if we decide we want to do something, you know, then you're in it, and you kind of have the obligation to see it through. But it's discretionary, and it is discretionary how far you take something. That's what we've been taught through our first aid and CPR classes, and that's really what we deal with. You know, it's kind of how we deal with all situations now. The port staff is a lot more hands off, and everything that we do, I would say, becomes discretionary. And we, as port staff, choose to, you know, pass on as much as that we can. I would say we do the same thing. You know, if somebody fell in the parking lot, you know, by no means by first aid that we do you just go over there and pick them up off the ground. It's not what we do. You know, call 911, call something if somebody can't get up under their own power.
Well, in this particular case, the sheriff's department responded. They walked him over to our bench. He didn't want medical assistance. And he was also, they left him on our bench. That's what it amounts to. And he certainly was not in a condition to be able to take care of himself. And I know it's a very tough question, but at what point, you know, is the port responsible for these people? I guess that's what it comes down to. We can limit our liability in different ways, but you still got to be able to go home and I don't want to see somebody get hurt on port property or hurt anywhere as far as that goes. But I also don't want to see you guys being put into hazardous situations. And this guy was definitely in the position where you don't know who's filming. We have cameras now that we know what we're doing to protect them. But it's a big problem. And the needles are a big problem. And you go help and try to help one of these people, and you get stuck with a needle. Obviously, that person's life is now potentially in danger. So.
No, I think that there's an issue that the safest thing, both for personal safety and liability, is to call it in, you know, to call in and get either law enforcement or ambulance services, you know, whatever's needed, have them take care of it and do that evaluation.
Well, I guess it's what happens during that transition time when the Sheriff's Department is able to respond. And in this particular case, they happened to be in the area, so it came, the response was fairly quickly. But this person was trying to crawl over to an occupied vehicle and use it for support to get up. They were kind of petrified that he was going to get to their car. And I wasn't physically going to stop him from getting there. it's a sad situation, but also I think it's a sad situation that, and I understand the sheriff's department's hands are tied to a degree, that they put him, just walked him over to a bench on the port property and left him, because he certainly was in no position to take care of himself.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Entertain a motion to approve the management reports.
I make a motion to approve the fiscal, financial report, the safety report, harbor master report, port manager report of April 2021 as discussed.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Joe and a second by Ken to approve the management reports for April 2021. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to action items. Action item A, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Agreement of Confidentiality.
Okay. Yeah, this agreement is an annual agreement, and this allows the port staff to get numbers that comes across the port receiving docks. You're not allowed to use the information in a public setting other than the weights and numbers themselves. You can't use private company information. So I'm looking for board approval to sign this agreement. And they require this every year. So it'll go on until either we bring it back to the board, say we stop doing it, or the board says stop.
So what this agreement basically says is that you agree to not share any proprietary information, just the
correct
poundage.
Yep.
And species.
Yep.
Okay. Questions, comments?
What do you use this information for?
The last couple of months I've been using it just to show a horrible season.
I see.
Other than that, just seeing what, I mean, you can use these information to verify if you have poundage coming off the, you know, poundage fees coming off the docks. So you can verify what's been reported versus what its income, but we don't have poundage fees, but that's part of it. Or, like I said, their season.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be able to keep an eye on exactly how well our fishing industry is doing.
Well, I think it provides us with good trend information to see what's trending up, what's trending down. You know, obviously, a diminishment in crab fishing is a serious issue here and elsewhere. So, and if, you know, for example, pink shrimp tends to fluctuate, but if it's trending up, that's a good thing for us as well. So I think from the perspective of being able to just kind of see what the variations in the commercial fishing industry are, it's beneficial to know that.
Yep.
Keep track. Okay. Item B, Oregon Life Homes commercial lease agreement.
Are we going to have a motion?
I got carried away. How about a motion on the item A?
I'll make a motion to approve port manager and or designee authorization to sign ODFW agreement of confidentiality each year until otherwise stated.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Ken and a second by Joe. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Nope. Hearing none, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Thank
you. Yes. Okay, now we'll go to item B, Oregon Life Homes commercial lease agreement. Sherry?
Yeah, as I mentioned before in my report, Seal Cove eviction process was completed. The port received several applications for the space. I was surprised how many people actually want that space as just an office space. I did a review, and my recommendation was towards the Oregon Life Homes commercial lease agreement. Tiffany Berg is here if the board has any questions.
Questions for Tiffany? Do you have anything to say? Tiffany?
Hi, thank you. No, I don't. I'm very excited to look at the board.
Okay.
I'm happy to have you here, Tiffany. Thank you.
Okay, so this lease is for 3 years with an option to renew for another three. The lease has been approved by Martha, reviewed by Martha.
Yeah, it's a standard lease. Yeah.
All right. So one question, the contents of the building, are they still there? What was in there?
The
desk, chairs,
cabinet? Yeah, the desk, the chairs, file cabinet, copier, it's still there. If, you know, if this is approved, I'll ask Tiffany if she wants to purchase that stuff. If not, then we'll just throw it all away.
So the understanding would be that whatever's in that building would be offered to the lease or?
That's what I was planning on doing, yes.
Or auctioned?
Yep.
Okay.
Or thrown away.
Or thrown away, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions, further discussion? Motion?
This is, just one second, this is Martha. I just wanted to request that in the motion, I was looking at the lease, which is the standard form lease, but this building does not have water or sewer connections. And the standard form lease refers to those. So I just request that the motion include removing reference to water and sewer utilities being provided.
Okay. Got that?
I got the water and sewer, but
it needs to be removed from the lease language.
Right. So the motion, I'm going to do the motion.
I started one. I make a motion to approve Oregon Life Homes draft commercial lease agreement and outdoor sign.
And remove the provisions for the water and sewer.
Okay.
From the lease.
Want me to say that?
Yeah.
It's, provision for water and sewer? Or
and remove the provision for water and sewer from the lease.
It loses?
And remove?
It's been removed.
No, they, no. Repeat after me. And remove?
Okay, and remove?
Water and sewer
and
from
water
the lease.
And sewer?
From the lease.
From the lease. Okay, I gotcha.
The, just so you know, the Exhibit A does note that there's no water sewer connection as well.
All right. We have a motion by Joe. Second by Sarah.
I'll second that one.
Okay, so just to be clear that the motion is to approve the Oregon Life Homes draft commercial lease agreement and outdoor sign and remove the provisions for the port providing water and sewer. Okay.
Yes.
Further discussion?
No.
No. All right. Hearing none, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that then brings us to the delinquent account write-off request.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. Typically, every year, we go through our financial reports, and we bring to the board anything over $1,000. Anything under $1,000, the port manager can write off and send to collections. Anything over $1,000 needs board's action. So we have two accounts, one Silco Realty account. It's currently delinquent, $3,590.51. And then also a Charles Simpson account for his mortgage is delinquent at $2,261.50. And we're recommending to take those accounts to collections and write off from our accounts receivable.
So make sure I understood what you just said. We will write those off from the accounts receivable page, but turn them over to a collection agency.
Correct.
For collection.
Yes.
Okay, and is it also not true that we got that building as a result of this too? Was that our building to begin with, or is that Charles Simpson's building?
In the lease, with his lease, when his lease ends, it turns into the port's building.
Okay. All right. Okay, questions? Comments?
No.
No. Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the delinquent account write-off of $3,590.51 and any additional amounts from the eviction process from accounts receivable and submit to the port collection agency. The second motion, to approve the delinquent account write-off of $2,216.50 from accounts receivable and submit to the port collection agency.
I second it.
Okay, so we have a motion by Sharon and a second by Joe. Actually, two motions by Sharon and two seconds by Joe. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to item D, the Oregon State Marine Board Intergovernmental Agreement.
All right, this IGA is with Oregon State Marine Board. It's for demolition of two derelict vessels. We've been going through this process, for about 6 months with them. During that process, we gave them an estimate of what we think it's going to take to demolish them and dispose of them. And this agreement is providing the port the expenses to do that.
So the Marine Board will actually provide, will pay us?
Yes.
Our cost?
Yes, on these two vessels that are identified in this agreement.
Okay. All right. Any comments, questions?
No. Part of this agreement will require an update on our best management practices. Travis and I don't have a problem because we're doing everything that they're asking for anyways, ensuring that we have, documentation for registered vessels, insurance, and those items be updated in our best management practice. So we'll update that when we go through updating our best management practice.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Yep.
I make a motion to approve the OSMB Intergovernmental Agreement Number 250-192-ADB-001 and authorize the port manager to sign the agreement.
I'll second. Go ahead, Sharon. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Joe and a second by Ken. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item E, Roy Davis Memorial.
All right, this memorial, we've been talking about this for several months. The fund amount hasn't changed in the last 2 months. So right now we're at $3,270. The feedback that we got selected a bench on the boardwalk or at the boardwalk. We got some cost estimates on a bench at $600. Shipping is actually more than the bench, $725. The bronze plaque, we checked with the family. They chose what's in the packet. It's going to be a little bigger plaque than what we originally estimated. And that came in at $891. We're thinking about putting it on a post instead of on the bench itself. So the post is $195. And if we wanted to make the ground a little better, pour some concrete, we would have $895 roughly to pour concrete underneath the new bench.
And what would be the remaining balance, or would there be one?
It all depends on pouring the concrete and the labor and time materials doing that. Right now, with this, it's very little left over. $895 would make it even. So if that comes in less, then we'll have leftover funds. Okay. I'm kind of anticipating we won't have any leftover.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, if you run short, let me know.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
I'm good.
All right. Motion?
I make a motion to approve the Roy Davis Memorial at the south end of the boardwalk, remove existing bench, and approve the site with concrete. New bench and plaque were with a post that is presented with the donated funds.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Joe and a second by Sharon. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. So I'm assuming, I would hope when this is done, we can have some kind of, maybe have the family here, have just a little bit of a
ceremony.
Dedication ceremony.
Yep.
For this. Well, certainly thanks to everybody who donated and to the staff for doing the work on this. It's going to be, there's not much we can do other than this for Roy. I mean, he certainly deserves recognition, so I'm glad to see this happening. Okay, brings us to item F, the roofer's change order.
All right. The roofers went through a procurement. Travis did the procurement on quotes on the roof. The roofers came in a little bitter, and they did the work and found more rot and some other change orders. The original price was $5,700, and with all the changes, it's now $10,327.84.
And as I understand it, that was primarily just completely unanticipated damage. I mean, beyond plywood, you also had some truss issues and a lot of things. That
plywood, tails, and in the original, when we got all the quotes, I was going to do away with the skylights because of leaking issues, but I found it was way too dark in there. It was just black as could be. It needed the natural light, so I added four skylights to the 5,700 right out of the gate, and that's what the original addendum that's on page 96 reflects that, the skylights, and then the rest from the 8,000 was the rot, the new tails, and bird blocks.
All right, so the change order then roughly $5,000, a little less than $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the original.
From the original, yeah.
All right. Okay, questions, comments? All right.
That, I have one question. Their work is 100% completed, right?
Yes.
All right. Motion.
I make a motion to final payment of the Roofers LLC in the amount of $6,327.84.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Joe and a second by Ken to approve the final payment to the roofer. Any further discussion?
No.
And just for the record, the roofers is a company name, not just a reference to people who work on roofs. So, okay, Danielle.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay, so information items. Pacific Seafood receiving docks.
Yeah, as mentioned before in Travis's report, between the new dock and the old dock, there's a fall hazard. Travis took care of it by putting this plate across there. So that's done. Any questions, comments?
That's a nice plate. Did you have that fabricated to put in there?
Yeah. Great. Was it Grading America? America's Great. I don't remember what it was. Grading Great. Company. We just called and told them what the gap was and like, this is what you want. Out the door. It's just walk rated. It's not rated for any forklifts or anything, but it's actually relatively cheap and inexpensive.
Well, it looks to me, just looking at the pictures, like that's about all you're going to get in there anyway as a person. Not much equipment, but the
right.
Okay. Information item B, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dredging, channel dredging for 2021.
Yeah, Danielle and I attended this virtual meeting. They plan on dredging the channel. Right now it's earmarked for January 3rd is when they plan. January 3rd or 4th? I'm sorry, June 3rd or 4th, not January. So they plan on coming in here. The surveyor boat's already out here. We saw them actually at the boat launch today, launching out there. So they do a pre-survey. And they plan on being here for 8 days for the Aquina. and then come back next year, hopefully. And that's just the channel way, not anywhere else in the port.
So that, and that includes the turning port, or does it?
As much as they can
get. Right.
What they can poke in there and get.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A dredge that they brought, it was a clamshell that they brought in last year. With it, they did that. It's usually about every 7 years they'll bring that in and do the spots where the Aquina can't get.
Is that what the Seons is? Is that that barge system, or is that a completely separate dredge, you know?
I don't know, last year it was contracted. It was it was the first time they started opening up the contracts to more people, and that was when they opened up to where you can piggyback off from people. They changed a bunch of things, so it was just a contracted company.
Okay. So one thing that CORE requested, which we did last year, is remove Borenstein's hoist because they hit it several times. They've asked us to remove that hoist again when they show up, so they don't damage it, but
yeah, that's not exactly like parking a Volkswagen when they put that thing in here, so
no.
Okay. Travel Oregon grant application status.
So the status, yeah, we did not get the grant for that. I included the email I got from them kind of explaining what they did. They had 400 applications. I think they say they had 18.5 million in grant requests, and they only had, I think, a couple million to spend. So we tried and get it.
Well, you know, I think it's fair to point out that we meaning you guys, have been very successful in getting grants, but grants are no guarantee. These are competitive grants, and, you know, the fact that we've gotten as many as we've gotten, I think, speaks well to the job you've done in requesting grants and putting the packages together, but I think no one should assume that because we put in for a grant, we're going to get it just as a slam dunk. So, okay. Business Oregon Commercial Rent Relief Program.
Yeah, as I mentioned in my report earlier, 3 out of 5 businesses that we submitted got rent assistance. Any questions or comments on that?
Why didn't everybody get one?
Yeah.
What happened to
that's a good question.
Well, I think we're really fortunate that we were chosen to get 3, because I'm sure that the whole state put in for it.
Well, yep. So I thought we originally awarded 5.
We submitted 5.
Okay. And 3 were approved.
3 were approved. The port did everything we could do. Dependents had to do their side of things. The two of the tenants didn't complete their side. That's why they didn't get assistance.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at, is that we originally could have had 5.
Right.
But because of the lack of due diligence, then we ended up with
3. Or whatever reasons that they chose not to.
No, they're responsible.
Yep.
Okay, item E, an emergency response team. This response is in response to Sharon's question, correct, from the last?
That's correct.
Just, you know, give some history and let people know where we are.
So this emergency response team was created by me and Travis just a couple years ago. It was our idea to have additional staff kind of on call and be ready if we had a emergency of one sort or another. But like I wrote in here, we learned that when the port acts quickly to remove a boat, we actually put the port at financial risk as well as the boat owner. We experienced that problem with Lynette Clark, which we're still dealing with that one. I think we're out $14,000 of our actual costs. So, and also, to get the insurance companies to cover some of these things, our insurance requires a higher authority to remove the boat. So if we just go in there and start removing it, we're not the higher authority. So then we lose our coverage from our insurance. And if we do act quickly, their insurance may not cover them either. So, and it seems like whenever, and Travis can speak too on this, if he likes to, but the agencies don't seem to be very eager to remove these vessels. they want you to contain the spill and then go for whatever approvals they propose. So
every state agency wants their crack at what you're going to be doing. They want to know what's happening. They don't want you jumping guns. You know, and our main job is to contain the issue. The boat being sunk is not a problem. It's not a pollutant. If it's not in a navigable waterway, it's okay to be there by state agencies.
So make sure I understand what you're telling me. It is then my understanding that it is in the best interest of the boat owner and the port to leave the thing sunk until such time as all the agencies can respond.
Yes,
that's what we learned.
And you may not like it, Gary, but if that's the same circumstance, it's not you, Gary.
Sure.
I'm going to disagree. On here it says that there were no volunteers. There were volunteers on it. Peter, Wilter, John was on it.
They were paid employees that we had to do training on. We had to hold safety meetings with them. And we had to pay them to come in and do that. There was no volunteers involved when we had the incident response team.
Let me one more. You know, not in my case, but in a lot of people's cases, two things. Can't you have the insurance company that we have this policy add that boat on the policy, which I think you can add that to the policy, and then you're covered by that policy that we're getting, like that I get at Gerald Roth. We can add that raising a boat on that policy. Wasn't that the case?
Well, I think we've recently run into some issues with that on, I can't remember which boat it was, but we had a boat that sunk at its moorage, which we assumed was covered by insurance because that's why we asked people to insure their boats. And then the insurance company's response was no. Wreck removal is for underway vessels only and not for moored vessels. So they denied the claim. Was that Lynette Clark boat?
No, that was Poor Daddy's. Poor Daddy. We're involved with Poor Daddy in that one.
So now we're...
And the other problem, the Lynette Clark one, was that there was nobody at the helm driving the boat when it sunk. And when you run into these problems with the insurance company and the boat's out of the water and it's done, you lose any leverage you have to making them make a case of why they think they sunk. If we have it out and it's gone, it's not in the boat owner's interest, or especially since we require to have insurance, it's best to let an insurance adjuster come and look at the situation before we have the boat out and gone and they're reliant on word of mouth and pictures.
Or they give you the green light to remove it.
Well, I'm hesitant to say this because my experience with this is data, but going back to when I worked for the state, in circumstances like this, we were specifically instructed to not move, touch, or do anything with a sunken vessel or an accident vessel, except to remove it from hazard, preventing a hazard to other people, because it was the state's attorney's position that anything that happened to that boat, once we said we were going to do something with it, became our responsibility. And the issue of the cost then became important. The assumption was that the state was going to pick that boat up and move it and charge the insurance company for the time, that we were not a qualified group to remove boats. So we could very well do it improperly or incur expense, which a private salvage company would not. I don't think that's the case. But the point was that if there are professionals that are in the business to do this, then it is in the best interest of everybody to use the professionals. Assuming that, they're going to have the proper equipment and have the techniques. And none of these things ever made much sense to me, but that's just kind of how, well, at least my experience with this has been.
And part of what we're currently doing right now, by exactly what you're saying, we call in a salvage company that then comes in. We do have the tool. We have a lot of the tools necessary, but we don't have the expertise and the know-how to be able to properly do it. We don't have airbags. We don't have divers. We don't have that kind of stuff. Yes, we've made it work in the past, but exactly what you said, if something else happens, if, you know, it's not uncommon for boats to have 100 plus gallons of fuel, you know, even the smaller boat to have 100 plus gallons of fuel on it. If we screw up one way and that goes in, we're responsible for that. If we have this third party company come in and do it, they're renting our equipment, they're renting our boat, they're renting. We're still making money because we're still now giving them our service, but under the umbrella of their expertise and their insurance now. So it kind of gives us a buffer between the mortgage holder as well. So we're not directly dealing with the mortgage holder with it. There's a third party that's dealing with it that also deals with insurance. So it has proven to work out better for the port.
So I contacted my insurance and had the conversation with them about that, if the boat was to sink at the dock. And they said they would want to be contacted first before, you know, we proceeded with anything, unless it was a hazard,
right,
that and was going to affect the operation or whatever in the port itself. So, but if it's not a hazard, they said they would require, and then they could also help make arrangements to take care of it.
Right.
That's what I was
told. So that's why there are professional insurance adjusters.
Well, we also contact one of the first calls we do is Coast Guard. They come over and they assess what's going on as well. And if they think it's a safety hazard, they're going to tell us. Now, they're a higher authority. They're going to tell us to get the boat out, or they just say, well, it's yours.
Right. Well, so, I thank you very much for taking the time to put this together and explain.
I think the point of this is that,
good,
from the perspective that we've just discussed, a sunken boat is not an emergency, basically.
Depends where it's at.
If it's my boat, it'd be an emergency for me, but from the perspective of keeping employees on staff, trained, and on call, that's not nearly really a necessary requirement to deal with this kind of issue.
Yeah.
Is that under the emergency response? Maybe.
What's that?
Team, the emergency response team.
Well, I think the point is that we don't have an emergency. So having an emergency response team on standby to do this doesn't make much sense.
Who is the highest authority, though, guys? Are there an insurance?
Well, the highest authority.
The boat trigger, who says remove the boat?
U.S. Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, DEQ, the insurance company can make the call. Sheriff's department can make the call.
It depends, because if it's a hazard in navigation, then that would fall to the Coast Guard or the local law enforcement authority who has boating responsibilities. So they'd make the call about navigability issues, I would assume. If it's an explosion hazard or something like that, it may be the fire department. It could be whoever deals with that. But it's clearly not the port.
And that's during an emergency situation, because after that's over, it's no longer an emergency.
But if we all want to be paid, customer and the port, we need to do it the right way. Or according to my insurance, it won't happen.
Okay. Take one more comment.
President and the board, there's something called the human factor. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have a lot of money. There's very few young men becoming fishermen. And they're just broke, they're not making money, they can't pay their bills, their boat's safe, they gotta get out of the water so maybe they can fix it. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying the human factor, that boat has gotta get out of the water. And it can be done.
Well, I don't think anybody's arguing with you that, it, you know, from the perspective of the people involved, it is an emergency. But from the perspective of what the port's responsibility is and our liabilities are, I don't think that they equate to the same thing. I get it. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And like I said, if it was my boat,
yeah,
I'd be.
Are you classified a volunteer I mean, and can you just...
Well, if I personally went down and grabbed my boat and hooked a hot water heater on it to float it, that's on me. My insurance company is going to come in and go, well, we're not paying for that.
Okay, well, is the port going to stop you?
Yes.
Port may.
Yes.
They may.
Yes, we will.
If I'm spilling fuel or doing something like that, I you know...
You would have to come... I mean, a plan has to be made. Once a boat sinks, it is not a rush thing anymore to get a boat out of the water. It's just not. It's not. It's contained and assessed. That's why we require everybody to have insurance. There's a lot of room in our insurance for you to be able to insure your boat for what you need to insure it for properly in the event that that happens. But under no circumstances now, if a boat sinks, will there be a overabundance rush to get the vessel out. It's frowned upon by all responding agencies and insurance companies. And like we said before, for everybody that has insurance here, it's in the best interest for them and the port to wait for those responding agencies to everybody to get involved. Because they don't want, the insurance companies want to ultimately make the call.
Well, I mean, if you back away from this being a boat in the water and you think about a vehicle that's involved in a collision, so the police officer's obligation is to get it off the road, get it out of the harm's way, and generally that means putting it in an impound lot, and it sits there until the insurance adjuster comes and looks at it and says, we're going to fix that or we're not.
Okay,
so the call ultimately comes down to the insurance adjuster. Okay. Anything further on it? All right. Commissioner's comments.
My only comment is thank you guys so much for taking the time to do that. I know you've had a lot to do. I appreciate that.
The art at the port is up and running. People are enjoying it so far.
I will just share one bit of ocean information that I spent a lot of time on Monday. When OPAC met on Monday, we were dealing with the amendment to the Territorial Seas Management Plan Part 3, which is Rocky Shores. And in the process of doing that, we had asked for projects to, well, not projects, but sites that people wanted to designate for some kind of special status. And one of the sites, or a group of the sites that were selected, are marine research areas that are looking at kelp forests, and one of them is near us. There are five sites where a coalition of divers have now agreed to go in and do a pilot project to remove purple sea urchins. Purple sea urchins are exploding and they eat kelp. So these large kelp forests are being completely eliminated by purple sea urchins. And purple sea urchins are preyed upon by the big starfish, the ones with a lot of legs. I can't remember what they're called.
Urchins.
Well, the starfish eat the urchins.
Okay, I got you.
So, and they were really affected by that starfish die-off. So the point is, the predation is not a factor anymore. So what they're going to do on these sites is go in and mechanically remove the purple sea urchins by hand, and then study the response of the kelp to see if anything's happening. But there are, I think there are well over 100 linear miles of kelp forests that are missing now in California over the last 5 years. And so kelp forests are the nurseries for all the juvenile rockfish. That's where they go to get out of the food line for everybody else. So I thought that was interesting, and we'll stay updated on that as results come in. But
it's rough out there.
Yeah. And they showed pictures. I mean, they had this one group had a before and after picture, and in the before picture, you just saw kelp. In the after picture, you saw a rock with purple sea urchins on it at the end. So, okay, anything further?
No.
All right. Our next regular meeting date will be Tuesday, June 15th, 2021 at 6 p.m. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Good
morning. So, Joe.